right, welcome everyone to another episode of Trek Talk with Tech and Kirk. I'm Techman16.
And this is Porn Chat.
And I'm Handy. Thanks for that, Kirk.
I mean, isn't it always Porn Chat?
Yeah, pretty much.
Also, I'm Boom.
Also, this time there's just no tentacles, that's all.
See, you said that, and now they're going to do a new Pirates and then a new porn one, and the Kraken's going to come out from the deep with those tentacles.
All right, hold on. All right. Why this is coming up in the green room when we were just bullshitting before we were recording, we were talking about replacing Johnny Depp with another character to make a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie. And then obviously, because we are who we are, it jumped into, or I brought it up. I'll take the responsibility. I brought it up. They did two porn spinoffs of the Pirates movies and they cost over $1 million each to make.
Mm-hmm.
And that was right before all the major streaming services came online to bring you free porn. So nobody spends that kind of money on porn movies anymore.
Yeah.
By the way, did you watch them?
There's no way they're going to have a high budget porn like that again, right? I've never seen it.
If I ever hit the lotto and I just want to blow stupid money, I will make an insanely high budget porn just for kicks.
Yeah, I would probably dig that. I would go watch it in the theater.
I don't know. First of all, who the hell's lasting long enough to watch a full movie anyway? You know what I'm saying?
See, I watch it through once to figure out which are my favorite scenes so that the next time I know exactly what timestamp.
So basically, you're just edging it out for the whole movie, and then you go back and pick the good minute marks.
Exactly.
You know, I gotta honestly, I miss those golden era porn movies.
You talking about the ones that actually had like a plot?
Yeah.
Like there's a Wizard of Oz one. There's a Snow White one that actually has real little people.
Oh, the Munchkins.
Yeah. I don't know if it's PC to call them that. This shit was made in like the 70s or the 80s, so I'm pretty sure it was fine back then. But
well, Munchkin is actually a medical term.
Okay. It sounds like a candy.
No. So a Munchkin is actually a fully portional human being, just shorter than average. So with the advent of synthetic HGH, that took care of all actual Munchkins. So everybody who's short is achondroplasic or a similar type of condition.
Right. So basically, through modern medical science, they can help people become taller.
Exactly.
Hmm.
This has been Little People Talk.
We're bouncing around. So, anyways, going back to porn for a sec.
Yes, the most important topic.
Going back to porn? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I came in at the right time, didn't I?
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great time.
Back in the Golden Age, they were actually released as feature films, and they were reviewed by critics back in the day before, you know, I can't remember when this, it was probably in the 90s or whatever, when the split happened between you don't have to release movies as actual movies anymore. You could just release it as snippets on the internet, probably with the advent of the internet. But there was a time where Roger Ebert was reviewing, like, you know, Deep Throat in the 70s, you know.
fucking, here, click here to read the review about Hot Cocks 3.
Get someone with a British accent to write the reviews.
We found the plot cliche there.
We found it rather shallow and pedantic.
Yeah, shallow and pedantic. Like, Peter, you can't repeat everything you see on TV. Hilariously, I was actually watching a documentary on this, and sure enough, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, the most important part of being in a porno movie was actually the table read. Like, they had lots of actors first read for the part, and then if you got the part, then you had to perform, and then if you couldn't perform on camera, they'd have to replace you with somebody else. How crazy is that, huh?
I wish I could go back in time just to experience that process. That would be fascinating.
You don't have to. There's like a documentary on YouTube that
I want to experience the process, not watch. Yeah.
He wants to go back and participate in old school porn. That's what he's saying.
Well, really, I want to do the table read. Like, oh yeah, baby, slap those titties in my face.
No. The table read was actually about the plot. It had nothing to do with the.
I'm throwing it in there anyway. You can't stop me.
This is an outrageous conversation. See, this is why, ladies and gentlemen, we want to split the podcast up into separate portions, because this would be perfect for our general chat.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? This would be perfect for our general chat. But anyway.
This is the most Star Trek discussion ever.
Well, I mean, we could always get into the equality of porn, you know, I guess. I don't know.
Women make more in porn than men do, so there you go.
Well, yeah, I mean, because let's face it, I mean, women are pretty. Men aren't pretty. I mean, let's just be honest here. Like, women are nicely shaped and everything like that. And men, we look like Gumby, you know, like we're just kind of there. Let's just be honest here, you know.
Yeah, that women can like pose all sexy and dudes have to like keep stroking it. Like if there's like 18 dudes in a room.
We were having a conversation one time and we were at a get together and one of the guys, somebody brought up, you know, somebody being gay and everything like that. And this one drunk redneck goes, you know what, man, I don't care, but I just don't understand it. Like, I understand why women like women, because women look good and they smell nice and, you know what I mean? They take care of themselves. But men, we're like hairy and we smell like nuts and shit. You know, what the fuck? Why would you even want anything like that? And I was like, you know what? You make a strong case there, sir.
Strong being the operative word.
Yeah. I was like, for fuck's sake, man. But anyway, yeah, so.
So the original argument, Pirates of the Caribbean is going to suck without Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, he obviously there are some other decent characters in there, or were, but I mean, he made the movie. I mean, it was his movie. If you don't have Johnny Depp, you don't have Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, that's like, to me, it's like trying to make Pokemon without Pikachu. It just doesn't fucking work.
You mean Pikachu is not going to save the day anymore?
I'm just saying, you know, there's certain things that go together, and it's like, I mean, they're just going to have to retitle it, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, 6 or 7, The Quest for More Money. Because, I mean, that's all it is at this point. There's no...
Baseball's the flamethrower.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think Pirates has run its course to begin with. The only reason that you would go see it is because Johnny Depp did make that a compelling character. But you take him out and then you're left with a tired franchise and uninterest.
I mean, I did enjoy the, what was the one with the cursed Spanish ship that was trying, the guy was trying to find Johnny, Jack Sparrow, you know, like, I can't remember which one that was, Dead Men Tell No Tales or whatever it was. That one was pretty good. That was still pretty good. I mean, I've seen all of them. I think they are pretty good, but I think it's just like when Ronnie Coleman won his 8th World's Strongest Man and then he lost his first one, he should have quit right then. But he didn't. He kept trying. You know, it's just, you got to know when you've run your course and it's time to find a new franchise.
All right. Transitioning to new franchises, how about the Orville?
I didn't see it.
You suck.
He asked everybody to watch it.
I even made an announcement about it.
You did.
I watched it. I thought it was interesting. I mean, like, if I want to nitpick.
Wait. Before we nitpick, let's kind of remind everybody what the premise was about. So this was, so for me, it was kind of interesting because they didn't continue from the end of season 2. This was more of a continuation of the two-parter where the Kalons tried to invade the Union, where Isaac's mission was realized, where he was basically spying on them to see if there were any weaknesses. And he effectively led the Kalon to try and destroy every, you know, all organic life, if you will. But they were stopped, and Isaac was reactivated as a member of the Orville crew.
Because Isaac stopped them.
Yeah, he was deactivated for the most part of the war, but yeah, he was reactivated and he helped stop the Kalon. But the Kalon are still kind of at odds, put it that way, within the killer variety. So this was a continuation of that two-parter, which I think, in my opinion, I actually think that two-parter with the Kalon was better than the Best of Both Worlds, TNG. So that's where we are. This is the premise. There's the fallout. Isaac's still on the bridge, and there are a lot of people that resent him for it because there were a lot of people that died in the battle with the Kalon. So anyways, go ahead, Boom.
Well, so, I mean, a lot of people didn't watch it, so I don't know if we want to hold on to spoilers, or should I just go whole hog into it anyway?
Don't worry about spoilers.
Everybody was warned 2 days ago that we was going to talk about it, so.
As much as it was interesting, the idea of, you know, like Isaac shutting himself down, basically de facto committing suicide, it bothered me because if you're talking about, okay, this is a robot with no emotions, purely logic, it doesn't make sense on any level. He could just leave if he didn't want, I don't know, it seemed awkward.
It did seem a little forced, didn't it?
Yeah. And I understand that they were trying to, I think to some degree, they're trying to add back a bit of making him sympathetic. But like, truly, again, if you think about it, like things like he's like, oh, the crew dislike me. They'd be more efficient without me is why I was going to shut myself down. Well, you could also just leave.
He says that, but I think deep down he is developing feelings. Like, you've seen evidence of it through the whole series.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they all treat him like he has feelings the entire fucking show.
They definitely treat him like he does, but...
I think this is a good segue into what humans do best, and that project their emotions onto somebody else. The killing himself part, you know, take that what you will, but it was more of a reaction to Marcus saying everybody wants you dead.
So he complied.
Exactly.
Well, the way he described it is that he analyzed it and he felt that people's immediate response would be to be more efficient if he was gone.
Because of all the hostility they portrayed towards him.
Right, exactly. And the whole point of it is look, suicide is selfish, and just because you feel like the world would be better without you in the moment does not mean things would not change. You know, of course, people change their opinions, they, you know, figure it out in their own head and whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a final solution for a temporary problem is the whole premise of the episode.
Right. And as a logic-based being, like...
He wouldn't see that.
Yeah, suicide generally is a very emotional response to things. Like, as a logic-based being, he would, A, be able to identify that, you know, he can live for a long time. Humans are finite. They will move past it. You know, history has shown that people move past things. Not only that, but if he's negatively impacting those directly around him, he has the ability to go elsewhere. Like, he's not forced to stay there. He's not, I don't know, just when you look at it from the logical perspective, it doesn't make any sense.
Wasn't he exiled?
Well, he couldn't go back to Kalon, but right. There's still a whole universe out there. Like, he still has options, even other Union ships he could have potentially, like, maybe would have been not as bad because he hadn't directly betrayed those people.
Well, but he's still Kalon. I mean,
right. But it's a little different when, like, you're working next to someone and then you find out that they've betrayed you and caused the deaths of a bunch of people versus, okay, he shows up and he's a Kalon, but you can also hear that, oh, well, he did help stop the Kalon invasion. So you're not as directly affected by it because he didn't, you know, betray your actual trust because you weren't working side by side with him. Even if he was like, okay, I'm going to go exile myself on a moon for 100 years or what, just did not feel to me to be a logical choice for him to make. It would have to be rooted in almost entirely emotion, which I still don't believe he has. Like, he really does. I don't know. I mean, the show writers may want to try to make it seem like he's developing emotions. I think that's kind of a mistake. I think it's more interesting to deal with how, you know, as you mentioned, Tech, how people actually do tend to project their feelings, and why it would be interesting, you know, that they consistently project their feelings, yet he consistently displays and has no emotion. Because unfortunately, things like TNG, like Data, while they did an okay job, they kind of let him, like, he was somewhat emotional. And so, like, and it would be interesting to me if this was just a truly emotionless entity.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because even in the episode, Mercer, played by McFarlane, does acknowledge that. He's like, everybody will think of Isaac in their own way, or they'll remember him in their own way.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the premise of the episode. Can we just say it's really nice to have good sci-fi back on TV?
Yeah, you know, as much as Seth MacFarlane, I'm not a fan of some of his stuff. Like, to me, this is still, well, I haven't had a chance to watch Strange New Worlds yet, but like, this is more Star Trek than Star Trek Discovery, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, this is more Star. Well, I mean, the first two seasons, Brandon Braga was the executive producer.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't get more Star Trek than that. But I, you know, first of all, did anybody have a problem with the length of the episode?
For an opening episode, like, there are times where season openers kind of do two-parters, and I looked at it as the length of more or less kind of being a two-parter. I do think it kind of drug in a few places, but it wasn't, at least for me, it wasn't so terrible that I was like, oh, fuck this. I think it was all right.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
Because I was looking at it from a perspective of, like, it's an hour and 10 minutes. And the pacing of the show, definitely, it was definitely well-paced, I'd say. To which I didn't even mind watching, you know, however long it was. Whereas, you know, Discovery, because we always compare it to Discovery, the pacing in Discovery is just so frantic.
Well, but the Discovery episodes are also approximately 43 minutes too long.
Too funny.
That's it. So good. You know, it's funny. I remember when Orville first came out, it came out at the same time as Discovery season one. And I would watch Discovery first and I'd groan. And then I'd watch Orville and I'd be like, yeah, this is cool. So how did you guys feel about there was really almost no comedy in this episode of the Orville?
Well, I mean, when you're dealing with suicide, how much comedy can you get away with?
I guess that's true. It's a very emotionally heavy episode. But I'm just saying, like, remember when Fox pitched the show?
Yeah.
It was pitching it like Family Guy in space, right? So you'd have the off-color humor in the first few episodes, which fell really, really flat. But then they seamlessly kind of integrated them. But in this episode, there was nothing even with Norm Macdonald, you know, and his character Yaphet, I mean, there was nothing.
Yeah, I think it kind of felt like they're trying to reset the tone a little bit even more, because if you watch season one and two, especially the starting in season one, yeah, they tried to yuck it up a little extra. And even in season two, there was still a okay amount of comedy. And they really, it felt like they're trying to drive a more serious tone. And I think they'll probably go back to a little bit of the humor, hopefully, because I did like some of the humorous aspects as well. But I think they're trying to strike a better balance, a more realistic, because, like, if you think about actual people, everybody's not prim and proper all the time. Like, real people deal with serious stuff, but also crack jokes and do ridiculous shit sometimes, too. And I think my hope is that that's what they'll get to. So it'll be more like, it'll just be more realistic of how people actually would be operating in these kind of environments under these circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, not everybody is Picard and Riker. Speaking of which, Do you remember the scene where Gordon uses the new ship?
Yeah.
Can't remember what it was called.
I can't remember either.
The Pterodon. There we go.
Yeah.
The Pterodon. So they did a test with drones, and Gordon's piloting skills, you know, overcame all those drones. I guess the question that I have, if the drones were pretty damn good, why do you still need pilots?
True.
I mean, technically speaking, they wouldn't.
Humans can't give up control.
That's probably the best answer.
Yeah. Humans are reticent to give up control, but also it's just more interesting for being able to write drama. Like, because let's be honest, he's that great a pilot, it would still make sense to have him remote pilot the systems. Like, that's why the U.S. military is going to drones in that way. It's just safer for the pilot, etc. But it's more exciting, like, when they're going to write stuff, if he gets himself in a jam, crash lands on a planet, you know, just whatever, versus, oh, you know, he's in a locker somewhere just piloting this thing and goes and grabs a cup of coffee. That's not interesting.
So everybody's more interested in Top Gun than Ender's Game, I guess, is the analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't you attack my Top Gun, goddammit.
Oh, shit.
I love Top Gun.
Oh, they're cheesy as hell, but I can't help but love fighter jets, so fuck off.
Same here.
Yeah, we'll get to that at another time. But so going back to the Orville for a sec, you know what I really most like about the show, as opposed to other Star Trek shows, is they're not afraid to put out some new designs of new ships, and the CGI to me looks cleaner and crisper than anything on Star Trek right now. And I don't know if you guys feel the same, but I just feel that they've actually done something creative with the sci-fi element, and the actual CGI just looks amazing. What do you guys think?
This was the first time I watched Orville, so I kind of didn't know the full background, especially the episode that they were doing. But I thought it was amazing. I really got into the show.
You need to go back and rewatch seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay, I will.
I actually really enjoy the Krill. Like, you guys remember the Krill?
Yep.
So I actually really enjoy that because it is kind of the antithesis of, you know, Gene Roddenberry's version of Star Trek, where, you know, with the Federation, it's more of an atheist society, and the Krill, as they expanded into space, became more religiously zealoted. I just find that as a very interesting concept, because, you know, it's so counterintuitive to what we think as humans. So I'm going to go a bit into a religious talk, right? With more information that humans find in terms of our understanding of the universe, the more and more religion recedes into allegory. And yet, the main opponents of season 1 and 2, and, you know, they were frenemies against the Kalon there, they expanded their view of their religion as they expanded into space. And I was just wondering what you guys think of that scenario.
No comment.
Yeah, it's a potentially dangerous topic.
I don't care about getting into religion per se.
It is interesting to see the dichotomy, because you are correct in that, you know, humanity, by and large, at least currently, appears to be on a path of getting more and more atheistic, whereas they obviously, the Krill, the, you know, went very much the other way. And so it is interesting to have a depiction that is counter to what we kind of expect when we think about, you know, being so advanced that space exploration is going on. Yeah, so I don't know. I like that.
I really think that is very interesting and not something most sci-fi do. Nobody wants to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Well, I mean, I'm just not sure what else to say other than, again, like, I do find it interesting because, again, a lot of our sci-fi people, like, there is both that view and expectation that, okay, hundreds of years from now, we probably will be primarily atheists because we'll have all this scientific knowledge. And that's, you know, the views of those writers, whatever, and that's, they're welcome to those views, but so that's how they view it. So that's why they write it such that in the future, yeah, you know, hardline religious groups exploring space isn't really at the forefront of what they're adding. But so again, it was interesting for somebody to actually look at it and take the other tact. But other than calling that out, I don't know what much else we would say about it.
It's just not interesting for me. That's why I have no comment. It's just religion holds no interest for me in any way, shape, or form.
That's a good point.
I don't know, those Catholic schoolgirl out. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. So in that respect, yes. If we want to circle back to porn, I'm very interested. Otherwise, not so much.
And it comes full circle, obviously. All roads lead back to porn.
So are you talking about the asteroid part of the show? Is that what you was talking about? Or the comet they were trying to move?
Which one?
On Orville? Is that what you're talking about?
No. So if you watch seasons 1 and 2, the main enemy, right, of the Union is a species called the Krill. And the Krill is very aggressive. And as we find out later in, you know, during season 1, is that they are very religious. And so their religion, it tells them to expand into the universe. You know, the will of Avis, right? So they make a lot of jokes about the rental car company, if anybody remembers that.
Yeah.
Truth be told, when y'all started talking about Orville, I started playing my GameCube. I started playing Zelda.
Well, because you didn't watch it, you asshole.
Well, that's fine. I got to make it through this dungeon. I haven't played this game in so long.
All right. I'm just excited to see what they do with this season, because this is, if all episodes are like this one, I think it's going to be a power-packed season. I am curious to see how they resolve the season 2 cliffhanger storyline. Do you guys remember what that is?
Refresh.
Well, it was the timeline, but I thought at the very end they did actually, like, they went back and wiped her memory or whatever, so she didn't think about it and so went on that second date and restored the timeline.
Yeah, but that the mind wipe didn't work. She still remembered.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, it changed. So I'm curious to see how that gets resolved.
Or if it ever does.
Right. Because at the end, right, they're all dressed up in, like, not civilian outfits, but more like marauder outfits. And she comes in and is like, I have something to tell you. And then kind of cuts. I'm pretty sure that's how it went. It's been a while.
No, I think that's right.
I just wish they hadn't waited so long to put out more Orville.
Well, that was due to COVID, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. But it still sucks, because...
Well, then don't forget there's also transition from Fox to Hulu.
Now I got to go back and rewatch it all, because it's been a while.
Well, I mean, you'd be doing yourself a favor. You'd be watching good sci-fi.
That's true. It's not a bad thing. I just don't usually, typically, like to rewatch things.
Except Star Trek.
But Star Trek's different.
Let's transition to Strange New World. How many of y'all watched that?
I did.
I did not.
Which episode was... there's 5 episodes now, yeah?
Amok Spock.
Oh, yeah. It was...
awesome.
It was very much the original series type humor. when they were talking about when he goes in there and he's like, we've switched bodies, and he goes, get out of town. We are not in a town. I mean, that's very, I don't know. They did a really good job on that one. It's very silly. Although I'm 100% that Spock in his later years would never punch anyone but like that. But it was entertaining, to say the least.
Can we at least acknowledge that if a man and a woman switch bodies, the first thing that they would do is explore their new genitals?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. I'm scoping it out.
I'm going to do more in scope. Just saying. I'm going to prod.
Prod.
Especially if she looked like that.
Yeah.
Oh, the Madam Stargazer, don't act like you wouldn't be running through your house naked doing dick helicopters.
You got that right.
Check this shit out.
Woo! Tell me more to play with.
I'm saying all I'm saying is you'd have to relearn how to sit down. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Okay, good. Glad we got that out of the way.
Anyway, yeah, it's good.
That was the first thing I thought of. I'm like, oh, they switched bodies. Okay. I guess they skipped over all the scenes. That's why Christopher Pike is interrupting them.
Yeah, it'd be pretty weird.
We've been at this for 3 hours. There's one more chant I can try. I thought it was going to be horrible because of the reference to Amok Time in the very first couple minutes. I'm like, oh no, Spock's fighting himself, allegory between his human half and his Vulcan half. But then they rent body switching sci-fi, and I'm like, okay, all right, I gotta see how this plays out. And it was really fun.
If you know anything about the show and you've watched the original series, then you know that all that shit, none of that shit matters. She leaves his ass anyway.
Yes.
I mean, the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, oh, that's cute. It doesn't matter. In 7 years, she's going to go start fucking somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. She does.
But I don't know. I guess if my fiance looked like that, I'd probably try to squeeze as much out of that as I could.
What'd you guys think of the aliens? The guys that start with the R apostrophe or whatever. The Ragovians or whatever they're called.
I thought that was a little bit weak as far as explanation and understanding what the fuck was going on. But I understand that it really had nothing to do with that. That was just that whole thing was just a catalyst for the issue with Spock.
I think I caught on to that pretty quickly because I know Tellarites were very insulting, and then they meet with Pike and they're like, oh, chum, my buddy, my pal. And then they're super logical with the Vulcans. And like, I didn't see the connection that Pike was doing with his hunch thing.
Yeah, that part was a little bit weak, but it worked. It wasn't, like I said, it's not Discovery, man, which makes it leaps and bounds ahead of anything that they got going on.
That's our standard. It's not Discovery.
Maybe that's why they made Discovery so awful.
They really want this show to work.
Anything they do with Star Trek now is automatically going to be awesome.
Yeah, because everybody's going to compare it to Discovery.
Yeah.
Star Trek Toilet Crusaders. Well, it's better than Discovery.
Why is Master Chief in this? Well, you know, at least it's not Discovery.
Yep.
Yeah, but why try to make a show that's bad to only make shows that are better? I mean,
Discovery appeals to a certain audience.
I know you say that, but I don't see it. I don't know how anybody can look at that show and say, this is good.
There are a lot of people. There's a Facebook group that I'm a member of. And I mean, whenever someone goes to roast Discovery, you'd act like, these people act like they're fucking like executive producers for the show. I mean, they go in, they're like, you're a piece of shit. You're a racist because you hate the show. You're sexist. What? And you hate yeah, the alphabet and all this stuff. And you're just a terrible product. It's like I said a while back, you know, it's essentially like calling somebody a freaking witch, you know, is what these folks are doing. But it's just, you know, I accept you as long as you like what I like.
I accept you as long as you agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. But I mean, you know, whatever. The best part of Discovery was Pike, and now he's got his own show, so now it's useless.
Well, then Philippa left, and they're thinking about a Section 31 show.
Well, if Philippa had her own show, it'd have to be like Rated X. She'd be having threesomes all the time and shit.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's...
You've got her attention.
That's what I'm saying. She, you know.
I still can't believe they put that in Discovery.
I mean, but here's the thing. Do you know what that was?
What?
It's a way of showing inclusion to people who are non-monogamous.
Oh, jeez.
You know it is. You know I'm right. You know that I'm correct.
Yeah. I'll agree.
So that's what that is. Everybody else has representation. Me and my wife like to go to, you know, fuck resorts. We need inclusion. All right, Barry, we'll write something in.
I'm glad I feel included.
There you go. How the fuck am I supposed to get through that?
Back to Strange New Worlds.
No.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like Boom and I were more happy talking about threesomes and shit.
I agree. Plus, how can you go back to a strange new world? Like, it's a new world. It's no go back.
Well, maybe the new world is a foursome or a fivesome or just a full-blown orgy.
Are you really arguing semantics? God damn, we've hit a new low.
I love hitting new lows for us. It's my bread and butter.
Fair enough.
God damn it.
What?
I'm getting my ass kicked by these fucking, oddly enough, these spiky tentacles.
Can't escape tentacles.
It boils back down to lowest common denominator. I want to ask, what do you guys think of the relationship between Robert April and Christopher Pike?
In what respect?
It is very reminiscent of me, of Archer and Admiral Forrest. And seeing as how we don't know much about Robert April, because he was never really mentioned in any of the shows per se, I just find the character intriguing. You know, the very first captain of the Constitution Enterprise, as opposed to any other ship called Enterprise. Have I gone too much nerd here?
I mean, are you talking about how familiar they are, or
too nerd for me? I am lost in the woods on this one.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I don't know. It's just, you know how Archer always asked Admiral Forrest for, you know, either help or bounce ideas off of, even though Forrest was never in charge of. It's not typical. It's like, for example, you know, like Picard would be talking to the predecessor of. You know, NCC 1701C for advice or help or you know, communication or whatever. You know what I mean? It's unusual. I just find the relationship unusual from that perspective.
I hadn't really picked up on that.
Maybe I have no full tilt nerd on this. Imagine if Pike didn't get into his accident. And Kirk would always be calling up Pike for advice or help or collaboration.
He lost everybody.
I did. Well, shit.
I thought Archer just spent time asking Lana for blowjobs.
Lana? I mean, T'Pol?
Why do we keep fucking this woman's name up?
It's an actual Archer reference.
Oh.
Silly cartoon.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Wall in Star Trek mode. We missed that too. We're just missing everything. Striking out today.
I know, right? I mean, we started with a bang and now we just ended with a whimper.
It's okay. We'll give you the opportunity to redeem yourself.
Me? I redeem myself all the time. I break it down and build back up.
Sure.
All right, so how about Spock punching that guy?
It was an unexpected reaction. I fail to see how that was the logical decision.
One can say it was almost human.
Well, I think the silliness for me is that in this one, it seemed in this portion of the timeline, it seems as though Spock should be more logical than human, and it seems like that would be a reaction that Spock might have later on after he'd been friends with Kirk for a while. It seems out of place.
What do you think of Pike and his influence, not influence, but how closely do you think Anson Mount's Pike is relatable to William Shatner's Kirk?
I don't.
So all right. In that case, let me ask this: Do you think Spock would learn more humanity from Pike or from Kirk?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I don't even know that I could answer that.
Because it seems to me Spock is currently acting a little more human now. And then Kirk, 7 years later, he's acting, you know, obviously original series, different actors and whatnot, but still fun to debate. Spock acts more Vulcan-y with Kirk, and he's trying to relearn humanity or whatever. And he's already kind of achieved that with Pike.
I think in this, they're touching on the fact that he's still trying to get right with acting purely Vulcan. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it seems, at least.
Yeah, I mean, he's younger, so isn't he, in a sense, still trying to, you know, develop into that pure Vulcan that he's trying to rise to that level, but he's maybe not there yet.
All right, here's another question then. Who's better at cowboy diplomacy, Kirk or Pike?
Kirk. The fact that you asked that question, you can just fucking resign from this podcast.
Well, I was expecting you to pipe up real quick.
And you would be correct, sir.
Because Pike tends to do a lot of cowboying himself.
I'd say he's a little more a traditional style captain, maybe.
Maybe we haven't seen him enough. But then he knows he's going to get into an accident anyway. So I guess he has that to look forward to.
Yeah, why did they throw that in?
That was from Discovery Season 2. He, in order to get the Klingon time crystal to go to the future or whatever.
Yeah, but why did they throw that in Discovery? I guess I shouldn't change subjects, but I don't understand why they threw that in.
I'll tell you, in order to get the time crystal to build that new suit so they can go into the future or whatever the hell on Borath, Pike had to choose between his future and the crystal, and he chose to see what'll happen to himself in the future, which was the accident that causes him to be in that chair.
Right.
Makes perfect sense, right? Because Klingons always had time crystals, and Discovery need to go to the future with Control so that Control doesn't destroy all organic life.
Yeah.
And you have to cry a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Discovery does make me cry a lot, to be honest.
Not the intended reasons. Let's be honest here.
Well, no, but they do get me to cry a lot.
I think Discovery makes a lot of people cry.
I'm still dumbfounded that anybody likes that show. I know, Kirk, I know you've explained it. I'm just not buying it. That show is such garbage. The fact that there's some marshmallow out there that really enjoys Discovery blows my mind.
A marshmallow. For fuck's sake, good.
I'm going to try and find people who are, or actually, Kirk, if you know any people who are at hardcore Discovery fans, invite them on the show. Let's pick their brain.
That's like, yeah, I don't, why would I want to know them?
I mean, it's about fair representation, man. We don't, I mean.
You know, the beauty of having your own show is that you can kind of choose what you talk about.
You can choose your own echo chamber.
Truly, I would love to talk to a Discovery fan, somebody that actually likes it and can explain to me why they like it and makes sense.
I will say this to Handy's, to back up his point about who the hell likes it. We have friends of the show. We have friends that have been on the show who are part of communities that there've been a big push for representation in that show. And our dear friends don't even like the show. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's just an all around failure. Like even the, it seems as though the part of the target audience that you're trying to target there doesn't even like the show for.
Because the show is not meant to target who you think it's meant to target. It's meant to target everybody else that wants to act like they're accepting when really it's it's just a failed attempt. It's like somebody wrote it that didn't give a shit about any of the issues they're writing about. Well, they just wrote about it to like get some brownie points or something.
Aside the representation part, I want to know actual reasons for why people enjoy the show. Like, I'm actually genuinely interested, aside from whatever community people are a part of, I want to know what generally excites people about the sci-fi of Discovery.
Well, maybe it's not the sci-fi. Maybe it's something else. It'd have to be something else.
It's weird for a sci-fi show to
focus on not sci-fi. Yeah.
Well, I've said this before. I think that if you took that show and you called it something else and just made it its own, you know, eliminate all the Star Trek references, because you could do that. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard. You just eliminate the Star Trek references and replace names and stuff like that. I think that, honestly, I wouldn't say that it's a bad show. It's just that when you say that it's supposed to be a part of this universe and nothing about it is representative of that universe, that's where the failure comes in my opinion. I think standalone, it could be very good. Just like the new Halo show. That shit's ass. Fucking halfway through the show, Master Chief takes off his helmet. Fuck out of town. That would never happen. It's an ass show. And Andy, I know you enjoy it, but if you called it something else, it would be good. But the problem is that you're trying to piggyback on this franchise. You're trying to use that name to get the legwork out of the way. You're taking a shortcut.
I gotta kind of disagree with that a little. Like, the point is there to, but when you get stuff like, oh, okay, this child is crying and it's somehow going to damage the universe. Like, it's just, even if you remove Star Trek from it and you threw that plot out in a show, I would turn it off because it's just not good.
Well, so here's the thing. I can appreciate that something can be good and I still don't like it. You know, just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not good, basically. There's plenty of stuff that's like that. There's plenty of popular movies out there where I've seen it and I'm like, yeah, I don't like it, but it is good. It's just, I'm not the target audience.
That depends on your definition of good. Like, good in what way? I don't think Discovery is really good in any way, personally.
I think it could be, again, but I also think that we'll never know because you can't...
Even if you took Star Trek out of it, I don't think it's true.
But the thing is, you can't think like that because it's already been presented that way. So you actually have never seen it presented the other way. Because think about how many things you thought would suck and then you end up, you know, checking it out, or, you know, you go to you think this restaurant's going to suck and you try it and it's actually good, or you think this drink's going to suck and you try, you know, there's all kind of stuff like that.
You can go back and listen to episodes where I gave Discovery a chance and we talked about it and I was like, yeah, I kind of like Discovery. It's all right.
You're trying to lie to yourself.
Yeah. You know, and I'm like trying to convince myself I liked it. And then the more and more episodes they came out with, I'm just like, you could literally go back and listen to what we talked about and you could see where we all of us started getting more and more negative about it.
Yeah, it was, I was there for a while. I was really trying to find some positive aspects of it and I was trying to ignore the negative.
I wanted to like it. Like, it was new Star Trek. I wanted to like it.
This notion that people have, oh, these old school fans, they don't want to like anything. They just want to hate it. Actually, no, you fucking idiot. Anything that says Star Trek on it, we want to love it. We really do. Anything that comes out that says Star Trek on it, I want to like it. I want to enjoy it. Why would I?
Absolutely.
Why would I want to hate something that's part of my favorite universe? This idea that, oh, people just want to hate it, and you hate it because you're racist and all that shit. Like, dude, fuck you, man. You know? It's garbage. It's ass. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you like it. That's cool. Like, I'm happy for you. But it's shit. And thank God they came out with Strange New Worlds. Although, I will say that I will continue to say that I like it thus far because we remember one of the seasons, I think it might have been season 2 or 3 of Discovery, where for like 3 or 4 episodes was actually decent and it seemed like it was getting better. And I was like, oh, I kind of like it now. And then they pulled the rug right out from under me. So I'm not going to say that it's great because they may come in fucking sideways with some bullshit in the next few episodes. You know, they may do like a fucking gotcha, bitch. And then we'll see it go downhill. And we've seen that before. But I will say thus far, it is the best In my opinion, it is the best Star Trek. Well, I'll have to put it with Lower Decks as far as canon goes, but as far as a serious show, I will say that actually Lower Decks is purely canon. You know, they don't have any deviations there. I will say that as far as live action, it's the best live action Star Trek that they've come out with since Enterprise.
I agree to that.
To include Enterprise, I'm sorry. I would say since Voyager. And the show, I wouldn't even say, probably not even just show overall, of course, because, you know, some of them are cartoons, but it is very good thus far. And I feel like it feels like Star Trek to me. You know, every episode, there's a little bit of carryover, but not really. And I also like that they're sort of exploring the relationship with Nurse Chapel and Spock, because that was always a thing.
Until J.J. Abrams came along.
You know, I enjoy the movies, man.
I'm teasing. Like, the reboot movies, I was fine with. It was just, it was amusing that they made the Spock, you know, into Uhura and that. And I was like, oh, yeah, all right, whatever.
Here's the thing, and it's cheesy, but it works. They get away with it because it's an altered timeline. So if you do that, then people could be like, oh, that never happened. You're right. It didn't in the universe that we were used to. So, of course, like that's easily explainable, and that's too easy. They set it up perfectly to do what they wanted to do. I mean, people can get mad all they want, but they set it up perfectly. Like, hey, we want to do a reboot, but we don't want it to be the same exact thing. We want to change some stuff. And they're like, have the timeline be changed through some sort of black hole singularity event. And then you can kind of take some liberties. And they were like, perfect. And they set it up perfectly for those three movies. So for people that are like, oh, that's bullshit, that would never happen. You're right. It never did happen in the universe that you're used to.
It's how Vulcan got destroyed.
There's a lot to unpack there, but you know, it's good.
Kaboom.
Yeah, no, like my only actual issues with the reboots were a little too much lens flare, and that's not really how a singularity would work, but whatever.
No, I mean,
they weren't bad.
I guess the workaround there is that you know, everything that we know about black holes is theory. It's their theories. So, you know, there's never been an experiment like, hey, let's launch a probe into a black hole and see what the fuck happens. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know. We're not sure. And that's why there's conflicting opinions in that community and amongst people that are far more intelligent than I. So, you know.
Alrighty. Let's transition into Star Trek Fleet Command then.
Sucks. The Harrison auction thing was kind of cool because you actually had an SMS where you could get shards without having to compete.
Yeah, that was cool.
So, I mean, that wasn't bad.
I thought they did a decent job for the between art content because usually there's fucking nothing. But this time they actually had stuff. So you got to admit that.
Yeah.
What's the new rage going on 34?
Arguing over OPL.
Still? That's still a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I was trying to come up with something else, but that's all I really got to report.
No, that's what it is. That's why I thank God last night they weren't talking about it in the voice chat on our Alliance server, because every time I've logged, that's why I haven't been jumping on, because like every time I log on to there, somebody from Dark's in there, and then there's some argument over OPL, and then, you know, fucking Venom starts like condescending or something, and then I'm just like, all right, I'm fucking leaving. Because it's about OPL, like, well, how much OPL should we be able to protect? And it's like, when can we do it? And I'm like, man, just fucking hit him. Jesus, fuck.
So here's what we've kind of talked about internally, and we're just going to say, look, if it's a 400k node, we won't hit you up to 400k. After that, you can go fuck yourself.
You're giving limits now? What?
I guess so.
If you're OPL, you're OPL. Why the? That should just be point blank end of discussion. Like, oh, you were one OPC? Is that a dick move to hit you? Like, honestly, I don't even look. Like, I just look, if OPC is there, I go and hit them. I don't even pay attention to the number. I understand how somebody might be pissed off if they were only over by one and you hit them, but at the same token, you were over. If you don't want to be hit, don't go over.
Do you do that with five star territory? Do you guys go clear people for no reason?
OPL isn't no reason. It's OPL. And yes, we absolutely hit people OPC. Well, we call it OPC, but whatever. We hit them if they're over the protected limit in five star. Absolutely.
That also means that you can never just go park a miner and leave it.
Yep.
Well, if you're me, you can, because nobody else can fucking reach me. But yeah, yes, in general, like, there are no safe spaces. But at the same token, like, if you look at your Novas or these new miners, the 58, like, they have a pretty big amount of protected cargo. Like, you can go and sit there and let it mine, like, 8, 10, 12 hours, and then go call it back and then resend it. It takes a few minutes. Like, you don't have to go OPC. If you do, like, you chose to just let it ride, which is cool. But if you get hit, well, you know, you chose to let it ride. You took the risk. Well, I don't get why people complain about OPC hits. Like,
I don't either. I could give a shit less either way, personally.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous that the conversation's even happening. It's justifying your either laziness or your inability to your want to play the game is surpassed by surpasses your time that you have during the day. So if you don't have time to send and receive, to send and recall, then I guess you don't really need all those resources. Like, you know, you want to mine more than what you can actually pay attention to. And what's happening is people are trying to legislate that into effect. And it's fucking ridiculous. And it's creating more problems. We've talked about this before. The more rules you create, the more problems you'll create. And then the more people are going to bitch because there's problems. Well, you've enabled it by trying to legislate this shit into effect. You don't want your shit taken. Don't go OPL. It literally is that simple. It worked that way for everything else. And then people are like, oh, I want to leg up on someone else, but I don't want to have to keep recalling the miner. So we should make this a rule. You're mean because you took it. Man, fuck off.
It also, like, once you hit that, you start to get into really weird. I mean, I don't know. You guys may do it different. On our server, we tend to say, like, specialty miners belong on their specialty nodes, and that's it. But you can technically now things like, oh, you can make a Horizon with, you know, Fess and whoever and stuff mine a little bit faster than some of the other ships up until they get, like, tier 7 or 8. And so are you then going to start adding legislation about, you know, the mathematics? Oh, like it just, you go down this fucking rabbit hole of allowing all these
different. It's been discussed.
Like, which to me is just like, fuck it. Take a step back. Like, OPC is OPC, specialty is specialty. And you know what? If you decide that you can mine it faster with another ship and you want to take that risk, that's your choice. Nobody's saying it, but you are taking a, like, God damn, like, people were just, it's laziness. People want to just be able to throw a miner out there and have it run until the end of time and you just stare at it and never touch it. I think that's the dumbest fucking thing.
Can't disagree with you. And most people, I think, feel that way. It's just, the people that don't feel that way are so fucking loud that everybody just goes, fine, whatever, I don't care.
What about clearing swarm systems of all the Franklins?
What's the point?
They clutter the screen.
I do it for the hate mail.
But there's no point to it.
That's from your perspective. Like, from my perspective, if I love hate mail, then there is a beautiful point to it. I mean, it just comes back to, like, and I'm being tongue-in-cheek there, but there is a bit of, you know, it depends on what you enjoy out of the game. If someone likes going and, like, catching people that aren't paying attention to their Franklins and blowing them up, like, it's a warship, so, like, why the fuck should I care? Like, yeah, you know, warships are gonna warship. That's fine by me. Am I doing that personally? No, like, that doesn't excite me in terms of gameplay. You're the one investing your time and potentially money in it. Enjoy your game however you want to. But, like, if your enjoyment of the game is to completely, you know, skip all ROE, like, more power to you. Now everyone's gonna hate you and all these people are gonna fucking hunt you and everything and stuff. But like, if you like that, you like that. I can't tell you you're wrong for enjoying it. Like, you're being kind of a dick, but fuck it, whatever. If being a dick is what you like, do your thing.
I suppose.
I have seen enough, though, Franklins, like, piled into a space where you're, like, you're trying to hit a hostile, and you're, you know, you can't target, but, you know, a hostile without there being a ship. Just saying.
Yeah, but once again, so what?
I mean, when was the last time you saw that?
Like, 2 days ago.
Oh, you logged in again, did you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I logged in and I was doing some swarms, and I was like,
he's been secretly playing. He's just not telling anybody because he doesn't want to get bullied.
Anyways, yeah, I was in 32 swarm space, and I'm like, Jesus, how many freaking Franklins are here? That's probably what I'll do, just to excite some fun in between arcs. Just mow out all the Franklins. I hit DT's miners in territory space. That was fun.
Was it though?
It was. It was fun. I just blew it up. It was like, and then I sent him a message. Hey man, you were there. And he's like, and he responds, one of them was a dry hit. I will declare war. I'm like, it wasn't technically a dry hit because I just hit him with my already full cargo ship. So
right.
All that extra ISO went poof.
Yeah, which annoys people even more than taking it.
Man, I still am so glad that people in this game are so generous. You know, because if you were going to kill somebody, you got to make sure to rob them. Because if you don't, you're just an asshole.
Well, it's like vandalism. It's like going into a house and not stealing anything, but burning the place down. It's like just pointless. I would rather somebody break in and steal my shit than just burn my house down.
Yeah, but nobody's, I mean, the difference is somebody broke into your house without stealing anything versus somebody broke into your house and stole something. Actually, I have a funny story about that. One of my friends lives in New York, and his house was broken into while his car was in the shop. And what was stolen was, like, you know, the receiver, like the radio receiver, and then a couple of hats here and there, and like a couple other loose items. But his like $1,200 golf clubs were still in the car. And I thought that was amazing. But he also told me, like, yeah, you know, if you break in somewhere, you might want to take stuff that's inconspicuous. Otherwise, somebody walking around 3 a.m. with some high-end golf clubs around, you know, around the projects, probably gonna be picked up pretty quickly. Be like, one of these things don't belong.
I always do my late night jogging with golf clubs.
Which one? 5-iron or 4-iron?
No, the whole fucking set.
Just the whole set. Use it as weights?
Definitely.
There you go.
I'm getting out of here.
All right, what else? What else we got in STFC? Come on.
That's about it.
There's, I mean, really, it's nothing. Yeah, it's a lull week. There's nothing special going on yet. Hoping they'll announce some server merges soon, but we'll see.
Is there anything? Is there anything that's going to drop in the new arc?
We don't know yet.
No, DJs didn't even give a clue about anything. What the fuck?
I'm sure he will today. Or I'm sure he did. I just didn't listen in on Wednesday.
Are we going to get a new currency? A new currency?
I think it's all pretty much guaranteed since every month we get a new currency. So, yeah, probably.
How many more currencies can this game support?
Oh, at least 1,000. I mean, why not?
The reason why I ask is because there's already too many currencies, you know, and
nonsense.
Based on the stress that I was feeling with what's going on in my personal and professional life, I logged into the game to see if I could get away from some of that. And as I said before, I felt way overwhelmed at coming back to the game because there's so much to do.
Maybe you don't have to do it all.
No, I don't do it all. No. Not even close to a little bit. But luckily enough, I was able to gain a bunch of resources and upgrade a couple things. But I'm still just kind of like in the shell shock mode. I'm like, oh my God, how many menus, how many currencies, how many things and buttons do I gotta press every day? Holy crap, I can't believe I did this for as long as I did. And just if there's a new arc that drops with new content, I'm just kind of like, how much more can people support? Like, how much more can people support?
That's a good question.
They'll find out. They're definitely pushing it. But at the same time, I mean, you do slowly but surely outgrow some of the older currencies as well. Like, you know, you finish up all your rogue research. So, you know, they drop off. But yeah, they do seem lately to try to add a new one every time so that they can force you to have to buy this new thing rather than use resources you may have already accrued.
Well, I guess it depends on your level, because I haven't outgrown anything with the exception of maybe augment. And even not augment. Augment.
Yeah.
But even then, if you still want directives and you're not buying them, you still gotta mine data to get them every day for the rogue, unless you maxed out the rogue. Nothing. Silence.
Yeah.
I think people just don't really want to talk about it. I know I don't.
So much for the SDFC section of this podcast.
There's just nothing going on. It's between arcs.
Yeah, it's yeah, there's just nothing exciting right now.
I mean, usually this is the moment when everybody starts shit for no reason, but I think people are just so not present that that's not even happening.
Even the shit starters are like, man, this is boring.
Well, they're just creating issues, like, you know.
Handy, I got a question for you. Why did Chef leave Nona? Or did you kick him out?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask him. He just up and left one day, said it was inevitable, and that's all anybody's heard from him. He hasn't talked to me in like 6 months. I've probably messaged him about 20 times or tried to call him, and he won't answer. He's all up in his feels about something but won't talk to anybody about it.
Interesting. Yeah, because I saw him like alone the other day, and I'm like, oh shit, when did that happen?
Yeah, I think at this point, Chef has ostracized himself so much from the community that nobody really cares what he's doing, because he has essentially disappeared. He doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't interact with anybody, doesn't hit anybody, doesn't do anything, doesn't really compete in anything that I know of. Like, he's withered away.
Withered away, eh?
I don't know. It's the best way I can describe it.
Boom, you got anything on 45?
No, kind of status quo right now. It really is just kind of a boring between arc moment. Nobody's started anything crazy, just same old stuff.
Madam, anything on 66?
You done fallen asleep.
Nothing. Anybody from the audience want to come up? Say something? Nope.
I am going to bring Phoenix up.
All right, bring him up.
Fuck Jesus.
Good morning.
Same shit, different day. Sitting in my fish tanks right now, listening to you people bitch about nothing.
I know, we were bitching stuff earlier.
I don't think we were bitching. I think we were just talking.
I know, I was being a smart ass because it was quiet. You were too quiet.
I know.
But yeah, I bring up STFC and the chat dies.
Pretty much. Because nobody really wants to talk about it, I don't think. Like, there's nothing to talk about. At least nothing I want to talk about publicly.
Oh. All
right.
To be more specific.
Phoenix, what about you? What's good with you?
I'm working on my gardens. I'm going to awkwardly answer that. Nothing, same shit, different day. Taking a break from the game for a little bit and getting some shit done outside because it's cloudy and not fucking hot yet.
You been watching anything Star Trek related or The Orville?
I have actually never watched The Orville.
You should. It's really good.
Well, Seth MacFarlane makes me want to cut myself, so I would rather want to cut other people than him, so he's why I don't watch it.
That's too bad.
That's a shame.
I might at some point. I just have to wait.
I'll force him to watch it.
Good. Force him.
I will.
Tell him he has to watch Orville or he's going back to dark.
No, I'm just gonna. No, never mind.
Oh, I was waiting for. I'm just gonna tie him down to a chair and tape his eyes open and make him watch it. Is that close?
There you go.
That's close.
Uh huh. Yeah, I just hadn't gotten around to it. I'm 3 episodes behind on. Strange New World, which really fucking sucks, but I've been so busy in the evenings I haven't had time to watch it, and I can't watch it during the day because I can't sit down.
Like, physically can't sit down?
Yeah, actually, I guess you could say physically. There's way too much shit to do during the day. I can't watch TV. I have it on in the background, but I can't sit down, and I can't focus on it, so I'm going to catch up on all 3 tonight once I'm done with my outside shit, because I don't have any of my clients at home this weekend because everybody's stuck at other houses because they're all fucking positive with COVID.
Oh, that sucks.
And that's also why I'm getting all my outside stuff this weekend, because I don't have to watch anybody.
Yeah.
One of my friends is dealing with the same thing. He's got a house full of sick people.
Who?
Cars.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering about that, yeah.
He's got a house full of sick people.
Yeah, my mom's about to come home, which, you know, is whatever. There's nothing I can do about it. But one of the gals that lives with me that I've had in my home for 7 years, her guardian, one of her guardians, is the director of the health department here. So I don't have much leeway. Like, no, she can just come and be sick in her own room, like in her own home. And she's like, nope, she can stay where she's fucking at. Oh, okay, my sister will love that.
That was a bummer.
Yeah, it's given me a nice break, though, because I don't have any time off until the end of the month, so I got a free weekend.
Can't complain with that.
Nope.
Well, Tech, why don't you go in the show, and we'll go to After Party.
Absolutely. All right, guys, I appreciate everybody coming on the show and talking Orville and Strange New Worlds. God, I'm so excited Orville's back. Please watch it. Everybody is listening. Please watch it all the way through, seasons 1 through 3. It is the sci-fi we've been desperately waiting for ever since.
Fine.
Yes, I have convinced him.
It is quite good.
I will start it tonight, and then I will keep you updated so nobody gives me shit because I haven't seen it.
I will say, as I recall, the first few episodes were campy while they were trying to get a little bit of their footing, but it is worth pushing through. It is good sci-fi.
Kind of like Lower Decks was, right? The first few episodes, you're like, whoa, you need to turn down the speed of how you're saying things. And then after that, you're like, okay, this is a pretty good show. But yes, the first couple episodes are hard. Anyways, guys, I want to thank everybody that was up here. Kirk, Handy Boom, Madam Stargazer, Phoenix, thanks for coming, talking in the mornings like we usually do. I appreciate it. And everybody listening, please give us 5 stars if you like the show, and give us 5 stars anyway, because we're awesome. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, do all the things social media asks you to do. And thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you guys next time.
I miss it when we used to have a different kind of outro. We used to say funny shit.